Radio Prague News.
The International Monetary Fund has cut its forecast for next year's growth of the Czech economy to 1.8%. A U.S. senator has again held up the nomination of the American ambassador to Prague, Norman Eisen. And German forest boy Ray might have spent time in the Czech Republic, according to press reports. The International Monetary Fund on Tuesday cut down its forecast of next year's growth of the Czech economy from a previously estimated 2.9% to 1.8% of the gross domestic product. At the same time, the IMF slightly upped its estimate for this year's growth to 2.0%. The renewed estimates are part of a global economy outlook which is threatened by the EU's debt crisis and the lack of a fiscal plan in the United States. The Czech Finance Ministry in July predicted the country's growth in 2012 at 2.5%. Several Czech analysts said the IMF's outlook for the Czech economy reflected worsening global conditions, but also warned that the reality might be much worse should the EU's leading economies slip into recession. The American Republican Senator Charles Grassley again held up the nomination of the American ambassador to Prague, Norman Eisen. The Czech news agency ČTK reported on Tuesday, quoting U.S. Senate records. This means that Mr. Eisen, who was appointed to the post at the end of last year for a period of 12 months, might soon have to leave office. Senator Grassley, who objects to Mr. Eisen's role in the sacking of another White House official, held up Mr. Eisen's nomination in 2009, but President Obama appointed him temporarily, taking advantage of a loophole allowing the president to push through nominations while Congress is in recess. The post of the U.S. ambassador to Prague had been vacant for 2 years before Norman Eisen took office. At a session of the Czech lower house that began on Tuesday, MPs are debating a constitutional bill that would introduce a popular vote for the president. The bill, however, does not enjoy overall support in the house, despite having been put forth by both the coalition and opposition parties. While the center-right coalition would like to increase the powers of a directly elected president, the opposition Social Democrats and Communists expressed concern that a head of state with extended powers might become a tool of partial interests. If approved by both houses of parliament and signed into law by the president, it would allow people to choose the successor of Václav Klaus in a direct vote in 2013. The German forest boy Ray, who emerged from a forest near Berlin earlier this month and whose identity remains a mystery to the German authorities, might have lived in the Czech Republic and buried his father there, Germany's Bild and the UK's Daily Mail newspapers reported on Tuesday. The boy, who is believed to be between 16 and 18 years old, told the authorities he had been living out in the wild with his father for the last 5 years. When his father died weeks ago, the boy buried him and went north, as his father told him. The papers quote a spokesman for the German police as saying his father could possibly be buried in the Krušné Hory mountains in northern Bohemia. Czech police have reportedly joined in the investigation. The number of Czechs filing for early retirement in the first 8 months of 2011 tripled compared to the previous year, according to government figures released on Tuesday. More than 66,000 people filed for early retirement in that period. The authorities believe the increase was triggered by a change in the retirement law, which will take effect at the end of the month and is generally expected to decrease retirement pensions. Olympic speed skating champion Martina Sáblíková on Tuesday failed to qualify for the 2012 Summer Olympics in London in cycling after she finished 28th in time trial at the World Cycling Championships in Copenhagen. To qualify for the London Olympics, the 24-year-old athlete needed to finish 8th at the worst. The speed skater took cycling as part of her summer preparation, but has since competed in this sport as well. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days should be mostly overcast with morning fogs and occasional rain showers. Daytime highs should reach 22 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, might racial tensions in North Bohemia be spreading elsewhere? The East Bohemian town of Čáslav is taking measures to make sure they do not. Czech scientists discover the genetic cause of the incurable Kuff's disease. And later on in the program, we look back at one of the most famous Czech gumshoes of the 20th century, police detective Karel Kalivoda. All that and more coming up on today's show, so do stay tuned. As the authorities struggle to deal with the growing racial tension in the north of the country, the town of Čáslav, east of Prague, is ringing alarm bells and taking steps to prevent a similar scenario unfolding in its own premises. With between 100 and 150 Romanis newly arrived in town, Čáslav is scrambling to prevent the creation of a ghetto and approving strict measures to ensure law and order. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
The arrival of a large number of Romanis, most of them poverty-stricken and jobless, is believed to be the work of housing speculators. Similar scenarios created problems in the north of the country, where street wars between Romani gangs, old settlers and newcomers in Varnsdorf and Novi Bor stirred fear and created a wave of anti-Romani sentiment among the majority population. The Čáslav authorities say that while they cannot restrict hotels and boarding houses in their activities, they will do everything in their power to secure law and order. The town has already taken the unusual step of prohibiting drinking in public, approved by a unanimous vote, and intends to regulate gambling as soon as a recently approved law comes into force and gives it additional powers. The town's deputy mayor, Jiří Havlíček, says other measures are in the pipeline as well.
Part of the welfare benefits jobless people get are paid out in the form of food vouchers. We have increased the number of social workers checking out applicants, and we cooperate closely with the police in monitoring gaming bars, so that welfare benefits do not end up being used for that purpose.
Dávky, které jsou u nás vyplaceny, nebyly zároveň zneužívány v hernách.
While the town's newly arrived inhabitants feel hard done by, there are already rumbles of discontent among the locals, who say that the environment has changed with their arrival and that they no longer feel safe.
Tam žebrají ty děti, si řeknou odvacku, a nebo I se...
There are now children begging out in the streets. They have no problem approaching you and asking for 20 crowns, and some of them are quite rude to the town's elderly inhabitants.
It's not safe to walk here in the evenings. The park and the pedestrian zone are always full of them.
The town's mayor, Jaromír Strnad, says business interests are behind the newly created problem. He claims that the owners of the town's four boarding houses have come to realize that not only will they be filled to capacity all year round, but that they are also eligible for a social housing contribution from the state, ensuring a steady flow of funds at a time when business would otherwise be slow. Two of those boarding house owners have already given way in the face of mounting pressure from the town hall and the locals. One has promised to sell the property to the town hall, which will find an alternative use for it. The other says her tenants will have to go by the end of the year, since she is planning a big renovation. As things now appear, Čáslav may be able to prevent ethnic unrest, but only by making the 100 or so newcomers pack up and move on, taking their problems to their next destination.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarová. This is Radio Prague. A team from Prague's Institute of Inherited Metabolic Disorders has discovered the genetic cause of Kuff's disease, a very rare condition that leads to seizures, impaired muscle function, and dementia in adult life, and for which there is no cure. Scientists of the Prague Institute found that the reason behind the disease is a mutation in the gene DNA JC5. Sarah Barufka spoke to Dr. Stanislav Kmoch, who worked on the project for 3 years with his team.
So Kuff's disease belongs into a heterogeneous group of neurodegenerative disorders, which are called neuronal ceroid lipofuscinosis. And the term neuronal ceroid lipofuscinosis means that patients affected with this condition store in the brain neurons specific lipoprotein structures, which are gradually built up and stored and finally destroy the neuron function. And in this work, we analyzed about 20 families which show this phenotype, which is inherited in autosomal dominant fashions, which means that every child of affected individual has a 50% chance to inherit this devastating condition from its parent. So in these families, we identified the gene, which is an mutation of the gene causing that phenotype.
And what exactly is the significance of this discovery for treatment of Kuff's disease?
As in other genetic disorders, there is no direct link between the diagnosis or our knowledge on a causal gene and the treatment. So, for example, in cystic fibrosis, the gene for that condition is known over 25 years, and the specific treatment still doesn't exist. So the more important is that we really start to understand this particular phenotype, and now we can work out about the mechanisms which are starting from the mutation and leading to the phenotype.
And is this disease a relatively rare one? Are there any numbers on how many people worldwide are affected by it?
Yes, it's quite rare disease, and this is a field we are studying. There is about 8,000 different rare diseases, and this one is one of them. So we know about 30 families which are spread around the world, and in Czech Republic particular, we are aware about only single family.
And how long did you work on this until this discovery actually transpired?
This work usually can take like three. On this particular project, we worked for 3 years. But now similar projects are greatly accelerated by novel techniques like next generation sequencing and genome sequencing.
And lastly, I believe that the team of the Institute of Inherited Metabolic Disorders, which made this discovery, this institute, has also discovered other similar causes or genes behind certain diseases of that nature. Maybe you could just describe a few of your older or previous projects.
This is the research interest, the research objective of my group. So we are interested to identify genetic causes of various genetic disorders. So in last couple of years, we identified causal mutation in eye disease, kidney disease, heart diseases, and etc. We really work on a different medical disciplines or subjects.
That was Sarah Barufka there speaking to Dr. Stanislav Kmoch for that report. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Later on in the program, we'll have our language learning program Soundcheck. But first, in this edition of Czech History, we look at the life of Karel Kalivoda, one of the most successful and famous Czech police detectives of the 20th century. A self-made man in principle, Karel Kalivoda worked his way up from ordinary rank and file to the head of Prague's criminal police. He made a number of compromises to get there, but he always retained a degree of integrity unusual for the time and place. Jan Richter reports on Karel Kalivoda, whose story is not just about solving crimes, but also shows the plasticity of Czech modern history.
The history of Czechoslovakia's communist police force abounds with stories of oppression and injustice. But a closer look reveals that even during the most difficult times, there were people inside the security forces who never betrayed their principles and remained focused on persecuting crime rather than the opponents of the communist regime. One of them was Karel Kalivoda, a criminal investigator whom his colleagues sometimes called the Maigret of Prague, after the famous fictional French detective. That is also the title of his biography by the historian Martin Kučera.
On byl nejenom vynikající kriminalista praktik. To znamená, že uměl vyřešit.
He was a great practical investigator. With his team, he was able to solve the vast majority of cases that appeared at that time. He was a very good organizer and manager of the Criminal Investigation Service, and very importantly, he was the face of the criminal police. In the 1960s, when the regime was more liberal, he often appeared in the media, and he opened the police up to the public, which was unheard of. And finally, he was a good writer and speaker. All this made him a great detective.
Karel Kalivoda, who was born in 1916 in the South Moravian town of Rosinov, only joined the police force after the end of the Second World War. Until then, he had a number of jobs, including a worker in a weapons factory, an office clerk, and he also ran the family tinsmith business for some time. But in 1946, mainly for existential reasons, he joined the criminal branch of the new police force in Mladá Boleslav in central Bohemia. After his initial successes, Karel Kalivoda was promoted and arrived in Prague in the early 1950s, where he solved some of his famous cases. As a member of the Communist Party, which he joined after the war, and thanks to his successes, Karel Kalivoda slowly moved up the police ladder and even studied in Moscow. But as Martin Kučera points out, he always preferred solving crimes to fighting the opponents of the regime.
Pokud byla kriminálka za v éře totality něčím československá výjimečná.
If Czechoslovakia's criminal police was outstanding in any respect during the totalitarian era, it was mostly because of him. Not only because of him, since crime solving is all about teamwork, but to a great extent because of him. His personal struggle for the autonomy of the criminal police from the regime was something exceptional and to this day underrated.
To byla veliká věc, dodnes nedoceněná, vlastně do vydání té knížky.
For many years after the communist takeover of 1948, Czechoslovak police relied on people who joined the force during the bourgeois First Republic. Karel Kalivoda, who by then had worked with many of them for years, resisted political pressure and protected his colleagues who didn't want to join the Communist Party.
Právě Karel Kalivoda je zajímavý tím, že držel ochranou ruku nad těmi buržoázními kádry.
It was Karel Kalivoda who protected those bourgeois members of his staff. For instance, he was a lifelong friend with the head of Prague's criminal police, Zdeněk Borkovec, whose brother Jaroslav was one of the first people executed in a political trial, even before Mladá Horáková. This is evidence of the fact that Karel Kalivoda thought and acted differently than many people in the police force at that time.
In his biography of the famous detective, historian Martin Kučera described the conflict between Karel Kalivoda and the communist secret police, the STB. In more than two decades, the conflict was to end Kalivoda's career in the force, but in the meantime, he managed to fight off all attempts aimed at his removal.
To byl režim výrazně schizofrení. Na jedné straně...
The totalitarian regime in Czechoslovakia was to a large extent schizophrenic. On the one hand, the ruling party needed its secret police against what they called external and internal enemies. On the other hand, they also needed the criminal police because it always serves the regime too. Kalivoda had a long-term dispute with the secret police, which several times nearly succeeded in having him removed. But he always enjoyed the support of top Communist Party leaders, until 1966, when he was finally forced to quit as the chief of the National Criminal Police and became the head of its Prague branch.
Vedení celostátní kriminální služby přejít na vedení pražské kriminálky.
In the 1960s, Karel Kalivoda's independence went so far that he in fact interfered with the investigation of a political attack on the regime. At a time when the security forces still executed people who stood up to the regime, Karel Kalivoda saved the life of a young man who carried out an attack against the party's armed troops, called People's Militias.
Na výročí říjnové revoluce v listopadu 1960 uspořádal 7.
In November 1960, on the anniversary of Russia's October Revolution, he planted a bomb in Old Town Square, which killed two members of the militias, which was a great shock. But what happened? One of the people at the rally called the criminal police, although the secret police would normally be the ones to handle it, since it was a political attack.
Karel Kalivoda and his team arrived at the scene, secured the remains of a bag where the explosive was hidden, but did not report the attack to the secret police.
Okamžitě nasedl do auta a hledal pachatele a rychle toho hocha dopadnul.
Kalivoda immediately began searching for the perpetrator and managed to arrest him within some 12 hours. He then handed the student to civilian prosecution, which most probably saved his life. He spent 8 years in prison before being pardoned in 1968, and he left for Canada. We can therefore say that Karel Kalivoda knowingly saved the young man's life.
Karel Kalivoda zcela vědomně zachránil tomu Hochovi život.
Historian Martin Kučera, who as a student met Karel Kalivoda, says that his defiant nature and lack of respect for authority played an important role in his personal struggle against the secret police, although he certainly did not agree with what the young man did.
On ten čin určitě neschvaloval, ale že byl humanista. Že chtěl zabránit tomu, aby mladí...
He certainly did not approve of the attack, but he was a humanist. He arrested the young man himself to see what kind of person he was. When he found out he was a 20 or 21-year-old university student, he thought he couldn't hand him over to the secret police because that would be the end of him. He had sympathy for the boy, not his act, of course. Also, he enjoyed sticking it to the secret police because he was defiant.
S tou státní bezpečností, protože Kalivoda byl furiant.
The liberalization of the 1960s paradoxically ended Karel Kalivoda's star career. His backers among the political leadership lost their positions, and so did he.
No, velmi dlouho za ním stál osobně Antonín Novotný. Až do roku 66, kdy právě...
For a very long time, he was backed by President Antonín Novotný. But then in 1966, it became unbearable even for him, because Kalivoda refused to crack down on students in Prague protesting publicly against the poor living conditions in their student halls. This was the last straw, and Kalivoda lost his position.
Akcí veřejné bezpečnosti proti civilistům.
Karel Kalivoda remained a member of the police in less prominent positions until 1976, when he retired. Although he lost his personal struggle against the secret police, he remained loyal to the communist regime even after the Soviet-led invasion. Martin Kučera, the author of Prague McGray, says he never fully understood why.
Ta konfrontace s tím komunistickým režimem té státostrany...
The confrontation with the communist regime soon suggested it would not be that easy, but Kalivoda remained a member of the party, and he remained there even after 1968. I can only guess why he did so. I think he didn't want to leave the party because he felt that if he left, it would negatively affect the level of the criminal investigation he built up. We have to realize that at this time, Czechoslovakia's criminal police could compare with its counterparts in the West, and it was internationally renowned.
Pod jeho velením byla evropsky srovnatelná a že i na západě byla respektovaná.
Karel Kalivoda retired as a famous detective who earned the respect of many professionals in a number of fields. Martin Kučera's biography offers an interesting insight into the life of the McGray of Prague, whose life was proof that history can be much more complex than it appears.
That was Jan Richter with that episode of Czech History. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Rosie Johnston.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn a new idiom or two through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a tune by legendary singer-songwriter Karel Plíhal, called O písničce, in English, about a song. The phrase to listen out for comes at the start of the second verse and goes Vyspala se do růžova.
Vyspala se do růžova, potom básník z něho utáty vyměl všechna hloupá slova.
Vyspat se do růžova means to have a good night's sleep. Literally, vyspat se do růžova translates as to sleep until pink or to sleep until rosy. The adjective růžový meaning both pink and rose as in the flower in Czech. I suppose a botanical equivalent to vyspat se do růžova in English would be to sleep like a log. When Karel Plíhal uses the phrase in O písničce, he sings Vyspala se do růžova, meaning she slept soundly. The mystery woman who slept so well is not in fact a woman at all, but the song that Plíhal's singing about. Písnička, or song, is feminine in Czech. Have another listen.
Vyspala se do růžova,
potom básnic nehouká, ty by měl všechna hloupá slova.
Vyspat se do růžova probably alludes to the nice rosy color of your cheeks after a good night's sleep more than anything else. But speaking of roses and sleeping quarters, there's another Czech idiom that you should know. If someone has it easy in this country, then he or she má na růžích ustlano. Mít na růžích ustlano translates more or less as to have one's bed made on roses. Interestingly, you use the corresponding phrase bed of roses in English, but most often in the negative to mean the exact opposite. Learning Czech may be no bed of roses, but once you do, you'll mít na růžích ustlano here in Prague.
Vyspal se to růžová, potom básnic nehouká, ty by měl všechna hloupá slova, za koduji ušil šaty, potom jim psal na procházku.
And a quick bit of fairy tale before I go. Sleeping Beauty is not known as Sleeping Beauty in this country, but as Šípková růženka instead. Šípková růženka means briar rose in translation. It's a bit of the fairy tale that I always forget, but our sleepy heroine is enclosed in her slumber by a thicket of dog roses, which obviously play a much more important role in the Czech version of the tale. But I hope that you're not dozing off with all of this talk of sleep, and stick with the Czech learning because, as they say in this country, trpělivost růže přináší, patience reaps roses. But for now, that's all. So, nashledanou, goodbye.
Vyspal se to růžová, potom básnic nehouká, ty by měl všechna hloupá slova, za koduji ušil šaty, potom jim psal na procházku, aby lépe zvykla si na svět, který mění masku, stejně jako počasí. Dováděla jako štěně, veselstně a rozjíveně v lidských duších, jako v jadných zahradách. Prohrabala všechny kouty, zaštěkala na mrzouty a mladým starcům zase teklo mlíko po bradách.
That was Rosie Johnston with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.